Our next conversation is with Joe Lavin, the president of Global Currency Trading Corporation, LLC, a hedge fund management company based out of Seattle, Washington. He's responsible for the direct management of millions of dollars that are actively invested in foreign currency markets. And he's provided his clients consistently with earnings in excess of 24% per year for the last several years. He has a degree in business and finance from the University of Washington School of Business. He's worked as a tax accountant for a large public accounting firm, as a controller for a medium-sized construction company, and has served for 3 years as a chief financial officer for a multinational, multi-million-dollar corporation. In addition, he's done extensive research and work in the areas of asset management, asset protection, and estate planning. He lectures and consults worldwide, and today we'll be discussing some basic concepts of personal financial management and investing strategy. First, just to allow people to listen to you with confidence, tell me a little bit about your background and why you are qualified to speak to us specifically on these topics of protecting and managing wealth.
My background, basically, I got a bachelor's degree in business and finance, University of Washington, went to work for a large accounting firm, public firm here in Seattle, as a tax accountant, did that for about a year, and decided to go work for a client as a controller for a large construction company. After that, opened my own accounting firm. And eventually took another job with a client as a chief financial officer of a multinational, multi-million dollar company, where I learned a lot of the concepts that you practice in international finance firsthand, not from the internet, not on a trial basis, but actually had to implement those and did that for about 4 years. And then I decided to go out on my own, started my own international financial planning firm, investment management, did that for about another 3 years, and then just decided to solely practice managing assets. And so what I'm doing now is I'm a hedge fund manager, asset manager, mostly in the financial currency markets. I have a lot of clients that have a myriad of different needs, different types of structures, different situations. And because we do manage our assets, we get to have a hand in helping them plan. We don't do anything ourselves. We always refer it out to professional attorneys or financial planners or accountants or whatever they need. But we do get to see really what the best planners are doing, and that's why I'm here.
Now, this can be a rather complicated thing for a person to consider, to think about all of the different markets and the different technologies involved in asset management and investing and in protecting your holdings. So let's start with looking at what could be the major areas a person needs to be aware of in starting to protect their wealth.
Basically, I focus on five major threats that affect everyone, whether your asset base is $10,000 or $10 million. The five major threats that I see are predatory litigation, the erosion of personal and financial privacy, reliance on high-term debt, and excessive taxation, and financial ignorance.
So let's go back over each one of those slowly and just make it exactly clear what you mean by each of those different threats and how to begin to think about them.
Definitely. And since I'm an American, many of the examples that I cite deal specifically with the economic and legal environment of the United States. However, they usually do apply equally to people that reside in Canada as well as many other parts of the world. In the U.S., we have a really interesting demographic. About 5% of the world's population resides in the United States. We do about 20% of the world's economy from within the United States. Yet we have 70% of the world's attorneys that reside here and 94% of the world's lawsuits. In addition, litigation on commission is illegal everywhere in the world except in the U.S. and North America, which means that attorneys work on commission. They don't work for fees. In essence, we have created a market for attorneys. We have created a need and an environment.
So what you're saying is that the United States is the only country in the world where attorneys will take a case where they were going to be paid out of the winnings, out of the outcome of some kind of commission?
Just about. There are obviously a couple of countries, but in most of the world, you have to pay for your attorney up front, much like you pay a contractor or any other person
right.
that works
and
for
win
services.
Win or lose, they get paid. Only in this country do we have the phenomena of the ambulance chaser or that type of attorney who does it on spec, hoping to win a big case and take a large piece of the winnings. So it's
sure.
a very different thing. And we just, as Americans, assume that that's the way it is, when in fact, it's a rather unusual situation.
Right. And because of that, the results on a macro level are the fact that we have ridiculous lawsuits that have incredibly high judgment amounts. We accept this as normal. We pay higher insurance rates in our country for this phenomenon. We make it very hard for medical service providers, for people that are in fields that have some sort of a potential for risk. We make it almost hard for them to practice because we have got such barriers to them And so because our country has adopted a lottery mentality, I'm going to sue somebody if they have some assets. Maybe I'll win. Maybe they'll settle. And there's always a deeper pocket. Let's sue every single person in the chain. We create such a financial burden on insurance companies, on practitioners, on business people, that it hurts our economy as a whole. In the United States, on a personal level, if you're the average American, you have a statistical chance of 1 in 4 of being sued this year. If you earn over $50,000, your chance goes to 1 in 3. If you're considered to be wealthy by the people around you, or if you look wealthy on paper, then you actually meet the first and most important criteria for being the victim of predatory litigation. A law firm can assume that if they prevailed in a judgment against you, there would be enough assets to pay their contingency fee. If I go to a law firm and I say, I want to sue Frederick, the first question they ask is not what for usually, it's, well, how much does Frederick have? What are his assets? The first thing they do when they're trying to decide the merits of a case is they see what they can recover if they were to get a judgment. If you have assets, then they might take it on contingency. If you don't, then I'd have to pay for their services up front at $250 an hour. Chances are I'm not going to want to do that. And unfortunately, that's how we decide sometimes who gets sued and who doesn't. The second issue is loss of privacy. Privacy is one of the most misunderstood and neglected freedoms that we have. It is a fundamental basis for personal relationships, free enterprise, property ownership, and communication. When we lose the right to our financial privacy, we lose the ability to protect ourselves and our families from an assortment of personal and professional financial threats. There are a ton of patriotic reasons why people will invade our privacy, and I don't say that those are wrong or bad. It's just that the history of our government, the history of people, is that information is not always used for the right reasons, and so we just need to really watch our privacy. Some of what I will talk about later will tell you that you can really guard your privacy where you need it. Reliance on high-term debt. This is probably one of the biggest threats to your financial wealth. We rely as a country, as a nation, as an individual on high-term debt. The fact that we carry an average balance of about $15,000 in high-interest credit cards, we drive cars we can't afford, and that as a nation, we readily embrace the buy-it-now, pay-for-it-later mentality. And as a result, whatever we don't lose to taxes, we give to banks, leasing, and consumer finance companies in high-rate interest loans. You know, the fourth threat is one that we all readily understand and recognize. It's excessive taxation. If you ask somebody if they pay too much in taxes, they're pretty quick to say, yes, I do. But if you tell somebody that there's a really good chance that they're paying thousands of dollars in taxes every year that they don't have to pay unnecessarily, they're not so quick to admit that. So I guess the real avoidable threat here is the unnecessary taxes that we pay because we just don't have the right education or because we don't use the proper financial professionals to educate us on how to avoid those taxes. And the fifth threat that I talk about, which I believe is probably the most devastating, but it's also the most controversial or hard to accept, is financial ignorance. In America, as in Canada, we are given no formal education on how to handle even the most basic financial issues. We're making financial decisions every day that will profoundly affect our lives, and most of us still don't know whether it's better to buy or lease a car. We don't know why a universal life insurance contract is so expensive, or how to even compute the effective annual yield of a tax-advantaged investment product. We regularly accept next to nothing from our banks when we give them our money, and we let them charge us outrageous interest charges when we borrow money. We buy financial products and investments that we don't comprehend because they're packaged well, because Madison Avenue puts them out to us, because CNBC says it's good to do. We don't comprehend probably 90% of the investments we get into, yet we do it because we trust somebody. Many times that person's a commissioned salesperson that is acting as an advisor, but they're making money based on what we buy, not on what we make. And I think that because of that, we just have to classify ourselves as generally ignorant about financial concepts. It's not a bad thing. It's just how we are. It's how our society is built. But as adults, we have the right to say, I want to get educated. And I think that's what this is about, is trying to educate people as to general concepts that are out there that hopefully they'll go and pursue more information on from a qualified licensed professional that can help them in the right areas.